Buongiorno, and welcome to episode 35 of the Connect 2 podcast. My name is Jeff Cullen.
35 season 3.
Season 3. I'm Jeff Cullen, and...
And I'm Mark Hughes, and I am just pouring some coffee, no ASMR, but... you can enjoy the sound. How would you describe our podcast to somebody who had never met us? What's our elevator pitch for the podcast? Okay, that's about half the elevator pitch time. You're already done. Yes, it's a podcast.
A creative conversation on numerous topics with a pithy observation.
Repartee.
And a well-established, what's the word I'm looking for? Format.
Well, what I try to tell people
provide
is
provide the comfort of the familiar.
I try to tell people that that both you and I are information junkies.
Yes.
And so as a consequence, we go through and...
We meander.
Well, we usually have a topic for each...
We usually do have a topic.
Well, actually, we always have a topic. And then we... although some of them are a little bit more last minute than others.
True.
And we also...
Especially lately. It's been wild.
But. And we'll tell a few dad jokes. We always talk about things we learned in the past week.
That's right.
And media. So if you're new to the channel, rate, review, subscribe. Check us out on podcast. Podcast. On Apple Podcast or Spotify or whatever. We're a little hard to find, but we are there, I assure you. Yeah, so coffee, today's coffee. And there's some significance about coffee today because we're going to actually talk about coffee. So the coffee is Abel Ortez by Rooftop Coffee Roasters out of Fernie, BC. The coffee is from Guatemala, the region of Mataquescindala. And it's a washed.
Would you like to say that again?
No. And the varietal is Pacas, which doesn't sound very good. And coffee tasting notes are chocolate, cream, walnuts, and butterscotch. Do you like walnuts? I don't actually usually like walnuts. I find they're kind of...
Walnuts?
I like pecans, but I don't like
walnuts. I don't mind walnuts. Depends what they're in. Put a walnut in a cookie, you got something happening.
Okay.
Yeah. Put it in a dish by itself.
That is a tasty cup of coffee. We have, for those who are interested, coffee is brewed using a pour over into a Chemex. And I will we'll explain that a little later. Any dad jokes today?
Yep.
Oh, we have a dad joke. Excellent. Yep.
Here we go. These are, for no particular reason, fashion-based dad jokes.
Okay.
Ever tell you about my first job? I was peddling designer clothing. I was a Dior to Dior salesman.
Have you read the article about clocks?
No.
If not, it's about time.
Oh, in case you're wondering if this is a niche, there's only 4 jokes. Oh, no, here's a few more. Okay, I thought it was only.
This is the fashion jokes.
Those who wear earmuffs aren't afraid of global warming.
Did you hear about the guy who stole a calendar and got 12 months?
There you go. An app-based bra sharing service, Boober.
My God.
Competition is Lyft.
How can you get 4 suits for $1?
I don't know.
Buy a deck of cards.
There you go.
How did the giant know that Jack was coming?
The giant, because he smelled the beans?
He heard Jack and the beans talk.
There you go. People in low-rise pants have recessive genes.
Oh, jeez. Ba-doom, boom. There you go. And the crowd says... There you go.
There you go.
What'd you learn this week?
Well, the folly of this continued a restrictive approach on science. So there is a satellite observatory called the Chandra X-ray Observatory. Apparently it's one of four satellite observatories that make up NASA's overall program. They look at different spectrums. This one is an X-ray.
Okay.
And apparently X-ray astronomy is an entire kind of discipline unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
So last week they released the budget, and they have cut the budget for NASA such that they are going to apparently lay off half of the team
for
this thing, and then they're going to just let it die. But it has been responsible for all of these sort of important discoveries over the last 25 years.
So it's been going, so it's one single satellite and it's just been going.
It's a space located observatory, right? Basically a telescope, but it looks at X-ray, the X-ray spectrum.
And it's been going for 25 years.
Yeah, but it's done all sorts of findings around black holes, gravitational, what do they call gravitons. So it's like the way they said, it's like if you had four eyes and then you poked one of your eyes out for no good reason. So it's not an excessive amount. In fact, they said the annual budget for it is about the same as what it costs to buy one advanced tactical jet fighter. But they're cutting it. So now there is a protest movement, and there's also a funding, like a giant GoFundMe started to get people to
$20,000 towards the next
save the Chandra satellite, because it's an important part of the scientific research. Plus about 180 people's jobs, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go.
Coolio. Okay. I learned a couple of things. You're familiar with ChatGPT, of course.
I am.
So ChatGPT, if you get the premium version, the subscription, which I have.
Oh, yes.
I've learned that there's all these sub chat GPT. So if you go into, so there's ChatGPT, and then there's like DALL-E, which is the image generator.
Yep.
And then you can go explore.
There's that other video one now too, isn't it?
Yeah, Sora. No, you can't use it. So Sora, they're just demonstrating its capabilities. It hasn't been released to the wild. In fact,
it's kind of mean. Look what you could do if you let you use it.
There's some crazy stuff that you can do with Sora, but you will be able to do, but right now you can't. Mm. But if you go into the thing, there's this, thing called Explore GPTs, and you can explore a whole bunch of purpose-built GPTs that do things very specifically.
Oh, yeah.
And there's quite a range of them. There's one that's called Sticker Whiz, which just makes stickers, like what look like stickers. You give it a text prompt and it gets stickers. There's also one called 11 Labs. And 11 Labs allows you to do something. We'll see how this sounds.
I highly recommend the Connect 2 podcast. Mark and Jeff are excellent communicators and have a wealth of knowledge.
Neat.
So who does that sound like?
Is that the Brian Fox?
No, that's Jarvis from Iron Man.
Oh.
Paul Bethany.
Oh.
So you can, if you have a whole bunch of text, you can get it, convert it to speech, and you can use a whole bunch of different voices.
Sure.
But anyway, so that was Jarvis recommending the Connect 2 podcast, awesome. Which is pretty awesome.
We should put that on the website. Do we still have a website?
We do. We have a Facebook. Yeah, we have a website, although okay.
The domain.
There's something weird with the domain. Did you look at it at all?
I did, but it didn't make sense to me. It looked like it was fine.
Yeah, well, so like, what's really weird with the domain is that depending on how you get to it, like it kind of one of two things shows up, either the proper one or this bizarre one.
Okay.
So, and I can't figure out what the difference is. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, we're good till 2025, I think. in terms of register.com.
So that's one thing I learned. So, but there's a whole bunch of them. There's quite a long list. You can have it for recommending food. You can, like if you're in a neighborhood and you want to know where to go for the best coffee, you can ask ChatGPT, and apparently it's fairly reliable. I mean, it still has all kinds of weird quirks. Like I was using Sticker Whiz and tried to do a photo logo for a friend of mine. And it kept putting a camera in. I said, okay, without cameras. So then I got 9 more all with cameras. So it's kind of like, you know, why aren't you listening to me?
That's right.
But
is this another free one, Sticker Whiz?
Well, you get access to it when you pay.
Okay. What does it cost?
Premium. It's like $20 a month or something like that. But I use it for a lot of marketing stuff, and but it's clear that you can use it for a whole lot more. And there's, with photography, there's a whole bunch of other AI stuff. So there's some AI tools that are now available to for editing and for culling. Do you know what culling is? It's basically when you have a large range of photos and you want to narrow it down too much better. It'll actually go through and say, these are your best photos and these ones are all very similar. Wow. And this is the best of the bunch. And you can tweak it, but because culling is a bit of a bane of most photographers' existence.
Sure, so. That makes sense. I don't know, man. The jury's still out on that AI stuff.
I don't know. I think you need to adopt it, or you're going to be left behind.
Absolutely. I guess these AI tools, it's not so much, they're a tool, but the jury's out on artificial general intelligence. What will it do?
So,
is it even really feasible?
So I have a question. You've seen Orange Cats before, right?
Orange Cats?
Yeah.
No.
Sure, yeah.
You mean like, are we talking like literally?
In the
real world?
In the real world. Like a cat.
Yeah, like an orange tabby or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 81% of orange cats are female.
Okay.
Because there's a gene, a recessive gene that basically sits on the X chromosome.
Right.
And if it's present, you get an orange cat. So you either get black or orange are the two main colors. Mm. But anyway, so only 19% of orange cats are male. So we have a cat that's next door that's orange.
Okay.
But he is a male. So.
Oh, yeah.
And, but the other thing I knew, or I thought I knew, is have you ever heard of a calico cat, which is kind of a tricolored cat?
Yes.
Okay. So almost all of those are female. Now, I was under the understanding that they were only female, but it's not true. There are some that are male. But they're kind of, so whereas, 19 out of 100 are orange cats are male, it's 1 out of 1,000 calico cats are male.
Really?
And it's because of the same thing. So you have... It's tied to an XX chromosome, an X chromosome.
Cool.
But you need an XX and an XX. You need an X and an X in order to get a calico cat.
Interesting.
So to get a calico cat that's male, you need an X, an X, and a Y. So you need the three.
Okay.
And the other catch with calico males is they're almost all... they're almost all sterile.
Interesting.
So the fact that they have this extra chromosome kind of makes it that they can't...
Right.
They can't... They can't have...
Progeny.
Progeny, yes.
Right. Interesting.
So anyway, so it's kind of interesting. So...
I just found out, similar vein, that certain breeds of, like British bulldogs, mm-hmm. are not able to reproduce... naturally.
Oh, well.
My wife's aunt.
How come?
Have, just because they're the way that we've formed their bodies, they can't pull it off.
Well, I heard that
she has these two British bulldogs, and they're really funny, they're really cute, but their mobility is quite
limited.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently the turkeys are a problem to because they can't mate anymore because we bred them to have such large turkey breasts that they're kind of unable to mate on males are unable to mate on females, so they have to be artificially inseminated.
Yeah, it's the same with these dogs.
Which is kind of crazy.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Okay, so today we have a nice cup of coffee.
We're going to talk about coffee?
We're going to talk about coffee. So okay. Coffee 101. We're going to talk about some basics of... Well, we talked about coffee at some point in time in the past, but it was quite a while ago.
Okay.
And I went on a conference this weekend to...
We're just going
to
start over and start
re-talking. Start recycling all the same stuff. Yeah, why come up with stuff originally when you can do it?
For Disney.
But it was funny because I mentioned so I was at this conference and people said, oh, you have a podcast. I said, yeah. So what's it about? Yeah.
What would you like it to be about? We're always looking for themes.
Do you have guests? We've had guests. Yeah,
that's right.
Not a lot of guests, but we've had some guests.
But we will have more because now we have.
Now we have the thing.
We just have to get our poop in a group.
Poop in a group. But we talked, so we were going through and, trying to figure out where to get coffee and I kept ordering
in Victoria
and I kept ordering flat whites and some of the people I was with was like, oh, it's a flat white. I'm going, well, it's a type of coffee. It's a coffee drink. I said, what's the difference between it and a cappuccino and a latte? And I kind of said, well, it's the microtexture of the foam. That's how you steam it. It creates, and they're all of a sudden they're going like, what did I just ask? So,
they're like, never mind. I don't want to know anymore.
So I figured, why not do that? Make people's eyes glaze in a coffee. And especially after having such a controversial topic last week, like on transgender, which elicited so many emails.
Did it?
No.
Oh.
Okay, a few things. So there's two main types of coffee beans.
Yep.
There's an Arabica.
Yes.
And Robusta.
Yes.
Robusta is the one with lots of caffeine, right, and it will last a long
lower
time.
Lower quality.
It's very low quality. Yeah. But it's, you know, packs punch.
So it's what they would have used
in
traditionally.
Yeah, kind of like folders and stuff like that. Yeah, and
maybe even to this day, I don't know. But yeah, it's.
Well, in fact, I think it was Folgers used to put hickory in, and hickory is to try and debitter the Robusta. So right.
Now, isn't coffee threatened by global warming?
It certainly is, because it has to grow at certain elevations. Right. And it
doesn't grow well underwater.
No. Mm. Well, no, I think usually mountainsides kind of thing, so that's less of an issue. But the other thing is, so the coffee. So when you drink a coffee bean, it's not actually a bean. So the bean is actually the seed of the coffee fruit.
Right.
Okay. So the coffee fruit is, you get, when it's ripe, it turns red. And right. It's got this layer of pulp around it.
Yeah.
You can eat the pulp. You don't want to eat the seed. And then they take the seeds and they'll roast them. So
right.
To roast them is actually a process to try and extract the carbon dioxide out of, get the moisture and the carbon dioxide out of the bean.
And then, of course, the roasting of beans is it's an art unto itself.
That is true. And the
dark roast, light roast.
Well, and the fruit itself is quite tasty.
Oh, is it?
Have you ever tried it?
No.
I tried it once when we were in Costa Rica. And, you know, it was surprisingly tasty. Although I have to say there's caffeine in the fruit.
I was going to say, does it taste like coffee at all?
No, it does not. But you do get a bit of a buzz from it.
Okay.
So,
sounds good.
So there's all kinds of different varietals.
Yep. Kind of like grapes.
It's exactly like grapes. Yeah. So there's all different kinds of ways that they harvest it. The best are hand picking. You really want to get them when they're red.
The fruit, you mean?
The fruit themselves. And there's a couple of different kinds of, you can get, You can get, there's a bunch of different ways to get, you need to get the fruit off of the seed in order to, or the bean.
Yep.
In order to get it. And there's a whole bunch of different ways. Some of them will let it dry out and then you remove it. Others will pulp it by putting it into water. So they go put into a flotation tank and sure. The ripe berries will sink to the bottom and are removed, and unripe berries float to the top. So then you kind of mechanically kind of mash them.
Okay.
And then that will actually, then they go and they dry right. them out. Right. And then there's a wash process where the unripe cherries are removed, and then they, again, use a flotation tank. But once picked, the fruit flesh is stripped off coffee cherries by a mechanical depulper, and then fermented. They kind of lay there for a bit. You know, we've talked about all these different coffees and the different types of process, and well, we don't need to go into the huge detail, but there's a few other things. So there's different grades of coffee.
Yep.
And there's these things called pea berries. So pea berries, so normally when you see a coffee bean, it's got the cleft in the middle.
Right.
Right? Sure. And it's kind of split into two. A pea berry is only one.
Oh, yeah.
So it is only one seed is formed inside the coffee fruit. You might still have the cleft, but you don't. So normally the coffee bean, if you see it, it looks like a half with the cleft in one side. And then so you actually, in the fruit, there's two of those.
Okay, I got it.
So one on each side.
Right.
And then, so every coffee bean that you get is actually half of one seed.
Ah.
Or half of the fruit of the seed in one fruit.
Right.
Does it make sense? Yes. And a pea berry.
Like an apple has multiple seeds.
But a pea berry, that seed is only, uno. There's only uno.
Okay.
Some people really like it. Some people don't.
Pea berry?
The pea berry. It's a lot of places when you can get actually just pea berry coffee. So,
huh, interesting.
That doesn't really supposedly change any of
that. Now, how many varieties of coffee plant are there?
There is a lot. There is a lot. And I don't actually know the number.
So they're actually variants, not just geographically variant.
That's correct. Like although the there are some plant. That are more common in certain areas.
Sure.
So there's lots of hybrids and varietals, and they do all kinds of, they do crosses. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Now, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does the book talk about how we went from a berry to the process by which we roast the thing and then grind it and then pour water through it and drink it? Because that doesn't seem like necessarily a straightforward, instinctive, like you wouldn't look at it and go, you know what I'm going to do with this thing? I'm gonna dry it, roast it, and then make a drink out of it.
Well, that is...
Or was that sort of like just it evolved by accident kind of thing?
Well, they don't know.
Ah.
So it's claimed that it came about in, I think, Ethiopia, where it was being eaten.
Okay.
And then balled up with animal fat to try and make a trail snack so you'd get a buzz. So we don't really know who decided to take the seed and put hot water. Okay.
So you're in Ethiopia and they're like, would you like a coffee ball? And you're like,
Yeah, so they were eating the fruit.
No.
But nobody really knows who took the idea to roast the seed and then put hot water in it and then drink a...
Perhaps it was Juan Valdez.
But there is evidence of coffee drinking in the 15th century.
Aha.
But little to back up the anecdote. That the first coffee house was Kiva Khan in 1475 in Constantinople. If it's true, the coffee would have been grown in Yemen, and we know that consumption spread into the region. So
this would have been in the 1500s. So they weren't drinking coffee.
15th century, which is the 1400s.
1400. So they weren't drinking coffee in Rome or anything like that.
No, but it kind of, imagine sort
if
of
they were.
Mecca and Cairo, there were coffee houses, and they were,
right.
They were actually, because they were entwined with political and religious thought, they were banned in Mecca in 1511, and in Cairo, they were banned in 1532. So coffee houses were seen as a problem.
Still are seen as a problem.
Yeah. So Donald Trump would be advocating for the banning.
Interesting.
So, but it didn't spread till Europe until the 1600s.
Okay.
And more for medicinal purposes rather than for pleasure.
Ah, interesting.
So coffee was traded through Venice, but a coffee house didn't open in Venice until 1645.
Really?
Yep. And the first coffee house in London opened.
It's probably still open.
It might be. First one in London was in 1652. In France, it spread to the court of Louis XIV, and he kind of made it popular in France.
Interesting.
So that's kind of where it started.
And then there was the first Tim Hortons.
Yeah, exactly. So there are...
We know when the first Starbucks was open, 1971.
Well, and we talk about... So with coffee, I mean, you're familiar with light roast and dark roast. Which one has more caffeine?
I believe it's the light roast.
No, they're the same.
Oh, are they the same? I thought they roasted some of the caffeine out of it.
No, it's... that's one of the
myths. That was a trick question.
It's a myth. They basically... there are some light roasts that have more caffeine than dark roast, but there's some dark roasts that have more
it's
caffeine.
It's more about the flavor, right?
It is totally about flavor. And typically the light roasts tend to be for to get the flavors that are a bit more acidic.
Yeah.
And if you want a bit more of the caramely, chocolatey stuff, you go darker.
Darker, sure.
How long after a coffee is roasted should you drink it?
Oh, I don't know. 6 months?
No. 1 month.
Ah, so don't have that.
So some
coffee. Unless you're in a vacuum seal pack.
Well, so it's considered food safe for a couple of years.
Right.
But it doesn't taste very good.
No.
Much after a year, all the volatiles disappear.
Sure.
And because the roasted still continues to off-gas carbon dioxide, that's what that little vent is when you get those little packages.
Yeah.
The vent is to because the coffee will continue to off-gas.
Right.
And when you have like an espresso, if you've ever seen an espresso, if you make espresso, one of the things they'll talk about is crema.
Yes.
You've heard of crema, which is
absolutely.
This, which looks very cool and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it itself is bitter. Like the crema itself is quite bitter.
Very much so, yeah.
But it is a good indicator of the freshness of the coffee and how well you've extracted it.
Right.
So you want crema on your coffee, but it's not... So all it's really indicating is how fresh your coffee is and how good a brewing process you've had.
Right.
So the crema is, it's basically just foam of carbon dioxide mixed with coffee oils. So, so typically you want to consume most...
It doesn't sound nearly as appetizing as crema.
Exactly. Crema sounds like a great name.
Carbon dioxide and
coffee oils. Yeah.
Do I have to drink it?
So you want coffee that has a roast date on it.
Sure.
And you want to try and only buy it so that you can consume it within a couple weeks.
Right.
And buy whole beans and grind. You want to grind them because that grinding process will release more aromatics.
Yep.
You want to keep it in airtight or relatively airtight. So the packages are good because they don't let air get in,
right.
But they let the carbon dioxide
sure.
get out. You want to keep the coffee in a dark space, a place, because light will rapidly accelerate. And don't put it in a refrigerator.
Yes.
It doesn't extend the life of the coffee. You get cross-contamination from other aromas, and sometimes if you have something particularly fragrant, like a garlic or onions, you're going to get that into your coffee, which you don't want.
No.
And you need to keep it dry, because I think it will get moldy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there are several different ways of making coffee.
As we know.
So there is, and a lot of people like coffee with milk. Some people with milk and sugar. I certainly, when I first started drinking coffee, there was lots of sugar in it. When we have our coffee in the morning, we don't, it's no. Black.
Yeah.
Once you've had black, you never go back.
That's right. I switched to black, quite a few years ago, trying to lose. I was on a low-carb diet, eliminate sugar. Because, it's just an extra bunch of calories. And, once you start drinking it without the milk and the sugar, you become quite used to it.
Well, yeah, and even, like,
one of those crappy flavored creams that you can get at the gas station.
Oh, my God.
For some reason, don't require refrigeration. It's French vanilla or Irish cream.
Exactly.
Why don't you throw two or three of those in there for me?
Yeah, those are really trying to mask the flavor.
Yikes.
Of the coffee.
Yeah.
So a few different techniques. There's the French press.
Mais oui. Also known sort of by its trade name, the Bodum.
Bodum, that's right. In England, they have a different trade name that they refer to.
Okay.
A cafe latte. Cafe. No, I can't remember. Anyway, a French press, basically you grind it, you put your water in to mingle with the boiling water. And you want boiling water with coffee.
Yep.
To mingle with the grounds, and then at some point in time you put the press down, and then you pour it out. It
forces it through that.
Tends to have a lot of caffeine. It's good.
Yeah, way to extract it. Enjoy when I'm just going to do one cup. Mm-hmm. We have a full size French press. We don't use it very often, but I've got like a little individual one cup.
Okay.
And now I'll just grind it the same way we do the drip coffee. So not quite scientific, but it is. It makes a nice single cup of coffee.
Well, the thing that's really important is to get the proportions correct.
Right.
So because you can small variations in the proportions can make a huge difference in the taste.
Yeah.
So pour over filter brewers. Most pour overs are using triangular filters. We have a Chemex, which was invented like way, way back in the 50s. It's still very popular. It's one of these things that looks quite cool and has been, you see it commonly as part of set decoration in TV shows, like Friends had a Chemex on
there. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so it is a popular thing because it looked kind of cool.
Right.
So there's also these things you can use when you're doing pour over. So pour over, you basically have a filter sitting in a Chemex or some sort of triangular. And not all of them are triangular. Some of them are flat bottomed, but they all produce pretty good coffee.
Right.
You'll use often a pouring kettle that controls the volume that comes out. A lot of pouring kettles also have thermometers on there, so you can actually control the temperature as you're doing.
Ah, interesting.
And typically, you want to do kind of like an initial pass, let it sit, get wet, and soak it up, and then and after about a minute, you do the rest.
Go for it. Yeah.
And go for it.
Yep.
So that's pour overs. Then there's also kind of like electric machines that percolate.
The old percolators, right?
Well, I'm thinking more like the ones that grab the water and still pour it. Like not a percolator, like a the old ones, they basically just boil the shit out of it.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of coffee. There's an AeroPress. Have you ever used an AeroPress?
AeroPress? No, I'm not sure.
I used to use it on my. Used to use it in my camper because it's very convenient. Basically, it's kind of like a combination of a pour over and a French press. You basically put it into a tube. And then you kind of push it through, and it it forces the forces all the coffee through a filter.
For a while, Starbucks had a
they had a thing called a clover.
Yes,
which is very which is very much like a
clover press.
Like a it's like a French it's like an AeroPress, but it's there's lots of.
Do they still have that even?
Or they kind of abandoned it
because for a while it was like the big thing, right? You'd be like, excuse me, you could have the regular drip coffee, or you could go with the clover press and be like, oh,
that's right. They bought the company. They bought the whole company. Right. Yeah, and basically, it's a way to do. Way to control pour overs.
Right.
So, yeah. And have you ever used a mocha pot? Mocha pot is kind of like the early, it's those stove top espresso machines.
Yep.
So basically in the bottom you have water and then you have this, basically as the pressure builds in there, it forces all the water up and through the coffee in through kind of like these little tiny holes.
Yeah.
And then you get it. It's not bad for espresso.
I haven't used one, but I've seen one.
There's all kinds of fancy.
We have we had an espresso machine with the, you know, of which there are many different types.
Yeah. Well, and there's these things.
The Keurig. Which I'm sure is not.
Well, that uses pods. So those are a little different because those are.
Let's just blow pressure through it, though.
Well, it's not. There's kind of more to those pods than just coffee.
Ah.
So, but anyway, so there's also the vacuum coffee pot.
Whatever.
Or siphon brewer. It's very old and a fun way to make coffee, but very annoying.
Time consuming.
And then the last thing is, the last main one is espresso machines. And there are way too many different types of espresso machines. But basically, espresso is forcing very hot, almost steam water through, for a very short duration through, they call it a group head.
Yeah.
And then you're forcing the coffee through. And it's very fast, so typically a double shot will take, 26 to 36 seconds
right.
For a double shot of espresso. Everything, if you're doing it well, it's all weighed. So you weigh the coffee grounds that in, because each of those coffee baskets is sized for a specific amount of coffee.
Right.
So you want to have exactly the right amount of coffee, and then
the proper grind.
The baristas will tune the grind to make sure you're getting the best extraction. Yeah. So, Crema is simply Italian for cream. It's the natural head of foam that forms on top of coffee, much like head appears above a pint of beer.
Mm.
But people like to see a little bit of foam on the top of the beer. You don't drink the foam, right? Like it's the same thing with
coffee.
It can only tell you two things, whether the coffee is relatively fresh. Mm. Secondly, whether the coffee of espresso is strong or weak. The darker the color of the foam, the stronger the liquid will be.
Ah, makes sense.
Because the crema is the foam of the liquid,
nice
the lighter.
Brown, sort of like a light brown, almost cinnamon-y sort of foam. You know you've got something going.
But it can't tell you if the coffee's any good. It can tell you if it's strong or weak.
Right.
And if it's fresh.
Sure.
So, so that's, there you go. So going back to the last part of espresso drinks typically also include some form of milk. Now you can have just a straight espresso, but then there is also, they have to steam it. So the steaming is kind of important because, so a latte typically is a is the milk is hot but not really, it's not foam.
No.
And if you use
or there might be foam on top.
So the foam on top is more on a cappuccino. So a cappuccino is typically a third espresso, a third milk, and then a third foam. A latte, it's 2/3 milk and 1/3 coffee.
Yeah.
And then a flat white, which is what precipitated this whole discussion after all, was invented in either Australia or New Zealand. They both kind of claim that they invented it in the 80s. So okay. Australia claims it in 86, New Zealand in 89, but they dispute each other.
Interesting.
And but basically,
a future debate at the UN.
Well, so it's microtextured foam, so of milk. So typically with a cappuccino, you do it and you get this foamy stuff on top, and then the milk. But with a flat white, it's basically microtextured. So it's a continuous creamy milk. That has basically got all these little bubbles in there. And if you spin the milk really fast as it's going, it basically entrains this air and lodges it in kind of like a set foam. It's kind of like...
Interesting.
So anyway, it... I don't know. I like flat white. It's also a favorite of baristas because it tends to bring out the flavors of the espresso better. It also... is easier to do latte art.
Ah, there you go.
So if you want to do latte art, most of the time it's a flat white.
There you go. You're quite good at this now.
I've gotten better. And then there's the other thing, there's a thing that's an Italian one called a Cortano, which is basically a bit more coffee, espresso, and a bit less milk.
Yep.
Unlike Starbucks, where you can get a macchiato. Mm. So a macchiato is actually a type of Italian drink. You get a cafe macchiato or a latte macchiato.
Right.
And the difference is a latte macchiato. So macchiato means stained.
Right.
So at Starbucks, it means caramel, which is not part of Italian brewing, but stained. So you can either get a coffee stained with milk. So that's a cafe macchiato.
Okay.
Or you can get a latte macchiato, which is milk stained with coffee. So it's a little tiny bit of coffee and a little and milk, or a little bit of milk on some coffee.
Right.
You can also
put a lot of caramel on it at Starbucks.
Well, and an Americano is basically an espresso that's been diluted with hot water.
Yep.
So, I think that's it.
Wow. Oh, here's different regions.
Oh, yeah. I've got... I have a book by...
Burundi.
By James Hoffman, who is a YouTuber.
Oh, yeah.
But his claim to fame is he won the International Barista... World Barista Championships in the... somewhere in the early 2000s. Okay. And... but he's also...
That'll get you a book deal.
He's also the author of The World Atlas of Coffee, which is an amazing book if you like coffee. It's just got so... it's got a lot of details. Although I have to say, some of the photos look a little bit kind of...
World Atlas of Coffee.
Kind of encyclopedia-ish.
Okay.
If you know what I mean. It's kind of... But anyway, it's got all kinds of details about regions and... But that's it. So...
is he a repeat winner or is that a kind of thing?
No, I think he did it once and then...
I'm out.
I think, yeah.
What else do I have to prove?
He now owns a coffee... he's part owner of... I think it's called Square Mile. It's Square something in London. Oh. He does all kinds of stuff. He's a YouTuber, Instagrammer... Yeah, probably does TikTok. I don't know. His YouTube channel is quite informative. So if you want to know something specific about something, and he's the one who did the thing on the Nespresso or the Keurig pods, and how there's something funny about them. So you'll get them, and they'll produce like a little bit of foam on top.
Yeah,
but that foam is not crema. It's something. It's like a it's part of the process and whatever they put in the pod to make the crema, but it's not actually like regular crema from an espresso machine. So I think the crema from a Keurig or an espresso is actually a little bit tasty. So anyway,
sounds a bit suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So, you've not been consuming much media, have you?
You know what? I finished Loki.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Excellent.
I had like half an hour to go for the last episode. Pardon me. And I realized, man, I'd missed a lot. of, I must have fallen asleep.
You were snoozing?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. So I actually went back, rewatched the last two episodes, the first half of the last episode, and then saw the end of it. I was like, wow, that was really quite a good end.
Oh, excellent. You know,
redemption for the character. So, yeah, it was good. I thought it was really good.
I watched part of Reacher, and I watched another episode or two of Three Body Problem.
Right.
That Three Body Problem, that is...
Lots of people are talking about it on
production
on YouTube and it's
like, I thought this was unfilmable.
That's what you were saying, yeah.
Really, really did, and yeah. Still think it was unfilmable, but it somehow they've managed to... Like, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, it's bizarre.
We rewatched parts of True Detective season one because my son was watching it, and we started season four. Restart. I've seen season four, but my wife and again my son were like, "Well, let's watch a bit of season four." So, I don't usually watch shows twice. Although I have to say, some of these shows there's so much like nuance that you watch it again immediately after, and you're like, "Oh yeah, okay, I hadn't noticed that."
Do you ever watch TikToks or not really?
I don't do TikToks. I do a lot.
Not like a lot. Video, like
stuff pops up on YouTube.
YouTube reels shorts.
And reels or whatever they're called. Yeah. No.
They're all basic.
TikToks
They're basically the same. Like they're all basically the same. As soon as these short form videos, they all basically do the same. One thing is you'll see these ones where they've taken clips from movies, like sometimes they're the best part of a movie and they give you this clip and you know you always have to go to the comments like, what movie was this? And there's been a couple of times when I've actually watched the movie after
having seen the clip
and then realized this is the best part of that particular movie, so kind of ruined it for
2 hours. This is the best 30 seconds, just move on.
Exactly.
I don't know if I would categorize it as media, but my God, it seems like X has gotten so much more toxic.
It's unbelievable.
I can only spend about 10 minutes.
Well, every time I go on X...
God, this is horrible.
Every time I go on X and you go in the For You page...
Yes.
Like the very first thing is like this... For me, it's called morbid knowledge or whatever.
I see that pops up
all the time.
Yes.
And it's like somebody died. Here's the last video of them doing this or whatever. And it's just, it's awful. The other thing is that Threads, it looks more and more like Twitter.
Yeah.
Used to, but it's nowhere near as bad. In fact, it's way more positive But yeah, and it's just an easier place because I mean they have a lot more rules about nudity and all that kind of stuff.
Right. So. I mean, it's interesting to see where people are at, but my God, there's so much oppositional. I mean, every now and then something pops up. Like here's Mike Lipkin, 8 proven guidelines for creating belonging in a hybrid reality. Well, that's probably going to be pretty good. I know Mike Lipkin's stuff, but some of it, like anything political, is just so polarized. Same thing on Facebook. Like I get certain amounts of stuff on Facebook. It's just, again, you know, people have just totally abandoned any pretense of rational dialogue, right?
Well, that's exactly
right. It's just right to some extreme statement, inflammatory stuff that is probably undefensible in every way, shape, or form, and so extreme. And then you get into the comments, and people will be like, you know, the fools who try to have a rational point. It's like, well, you know, I see your point, but perhaps you should consider, and it's like, communist, commie. Or worse, right? Like, in fact, being called a communist, it's pretty mild stuff. It's just like, what is wrong with these people?
Well, the attacks are so, so personal.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's just, and it's gone mad. So there's a few things that have come out that look a little bit interesting. There's a Scoop, which is with Gillian Anderson, and it's all about this interview with Prince Andrew that kind of ruined him, related to Jeffrey Epstein. Very shortly, the new...
his handlers are like, should we send him in for the interview? Oh, I think Andrew can handle himself. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What have we done?
Exactly. There is, Three Body Problem just came out recently, so that's, but there's also, what's the sci-fi that, there's the one, The Scargiver, it's coming out.
What? Well, Fallout's coming out.
Well, Fallout is already out, I believe. Yeah. I think it came out on Friday. Yeah. I don't think that's on Netflix.
My kid's a big Fallout fan, but he's like, meh, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to watch it.
It looks interesting.
Yeah.
There's also...
I saw the trailer for the new Joker follow-up, Folie à Deux.
Oh, yeah.
It's a musical, apparently, or at least parts of it are
going
to be a musical. Yes.
Well, this is the thing with the latest Willy Wonka with Timothy Chalamet. Yeah. It was like, it's a musical. So for me, that's like an instant do not go.
Well, with the Joker... From what I understood, I saw a review of the trailer. It's so amazing, right? The trailer's 2 minutes, and then there's like, here's a 17-minute debate or discussion of the trailer. So it seems like there's going to be sequences where he is potentially in his own mind, will be set to music and sort of musical. And so the whole movie is not a musical, but there's going to be musical portions that represent his psychosis and madness. It looks good, though.
Well, and so Zack Snyder is the one who's done this new sci-fi. So it's part two. The first one came out in the fall.
Okay.
What was it called? It's Rebel Moon. That's it.
Oh, right.
So we saw Rebel Moon. It was kind of okay. It was not. The action was great. That's very stylized. The story was kind of meh. But the part two is coming out right away.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, within the next couple of weeks.
Speaking of Rebels, Billy Idol's coming.
To Edmonton?
Yes. We saw him at the Rec Room. No, it wasn't even called that. It was called Red's Rec Room or Red's Rumpus Room.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a long time ago. We saw Billy Idol. And he was old, man. And now it's like, this has got to be 20 years on.
Billy Idol looks old.
It's either I just can't retire or I need the bloody money. Like, no other reason.
How old is Billy? Yeah, he's coming to Edmonton. There
he's in his 70s now, I think.
He is 68 years old.
Okay. Well,
he's a little guy, too. He's not very big.
No. There's a lot of miles on that.
There was a lot of miles when he came out with his Rebel Yell kind of thing.
Well, it's 40 years ago, right?
Yep.
Did I tell you I'm going to Montreal in, it's about 3 weeks now.
Oh, wow.
For my 40th high school reunion.
So it's just for the weekend? Or?
Yeah.
It's a long way.
Flying in on Friday, Porter Air.
Well, we'll need to hear how it goes.
Hanging out Friday night. Saturday, I'm probably going to Uber to my hometown.
Okay. It up,
about $30, so better than renting a car. Hang out there. Then Saturday night is the big party. I'm staying at the hotel that they've booked for the... It's in Brossard. And then fly back on Sunday. But people are... we have 45 or 50 people. They keep updating the list. Social media is amazing, right?
So,
Messenger.
So you had troubles with your Facebook... Where all those connections were on your old Facebook.
But now I have
it. You've been able to...
Updated, yeah.
Whatever happened to your old Facebook
page? No idea.
No idea. Okay. Anyway.
There was never any request for money or nothing. It was just a fluky, why would you pull up my Facebook and then not do anything with it?
Yeah.
Weird. So I'm very excited. That's going to be short. And then we're thinking now of going back as a family in July.
So when did you graduate from high school?
1984.
1984.
40 years ago.
40 years. Oh, my God.
So it's going to be strange because we did the 20-year. I think it was 20 years ago. And
yeah, that makes sense.
But now, everybody's like pushing 60, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to be like, a room of really old, and some people have aged well,
and some and less,
some well. Less well. And it's just going to be very strange to be like, am I in a room with my grandparents? Like, what's going on? So it'll be an experience.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, let's leave it there for this week. Have a great week.
Yeah, you too, man.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye. Okay,